I'm all wired for success here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know, I'm up here worshiping God, and the thing that hits me is God is living inside of us. How can we fail? How do you know that? It says, well, a couple of scriptures come to my mind. It says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. Holy Spirit's living inside of us. How exciting. Isn't that exciting? Like, hey, where's God? Where are you? Oh, you're right here. Hallelujah. And we got the extra bonus of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That's how close he is. He was not satisfied with the old covenant relationship where you go to a temple once a year. Only one person goes into the Holy of Holies. Hi, God. I'm here for the yearly sacrifice, you know, and that's the relationship. No, he wants us. It says, we are the temple, okay? And he's living inside of us, and we can be with him every day. Let's take advantage of that. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. So, a few things have kind of dawned on me in the past couple weeks. One thing was that I've been like complaining too much. And it's really uncomfortable to complain. And there's a scripture, and I really like this scripture because it really says a lot. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's verse 47. You can turn there if you want, or just listen. But in the first, it's like a covenant chapter, and in the first 15 verses of that chapter, it goes through all the blessings for the people of God if they follow the Lord. And then the rest of the chapter, which is pretty lengthy, you know, it's like over 50 verses, it goes into all the curses for those that don't follow the Lord. And right in the middle of it says in verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. What does that say to me? It says to me that I'm going to serve the Lord right now. This is, whether you think you are prosperous or not, this is the time of prosperity. If you're in the Lord, I think our pastor's having some problem. Okay. It says in verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. So I would just encourage you. What I've been doing is anytime I'm you know, let's say you get up in the morning, you have some aches and pains. Well, I praise God. God's living inside of me. I'm an overcomer. My joints are moving like a young person again because he renews my youth like the eagles. That's the word of God. You know, we can stand on the word of God. That is the truth. So you walk into the kitchen, the cat's meowing like crazy because it hasn't been fed and it just won't stop. It's, praise the Lord, I got a cat. Praise the Lord, I got money to feed a cat. And then you peer over to the sink, and there's a whole bunch of dishes that need to be done. Well, praise God. I ate food last night. I had dishes to eat. I have a sink to wash them in. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, don't let yourself complain. This is the time of great prosperity for us, for the people of God. And it says, did not serve the Lord. We're serving the Lord with joyfully and gladly. Hallelujah. You know, if you see yourself frowning, start smiling. Go ahead, look like an idiot. It doesn't matter. Just start smiling and just start thinking about God, how good God is for you. You know, and the Word of God will change that situation. You know, that's how the anointing and presence of God gets out. The Holy Spirit, there's no limit to the Spirit of God. But oftentimes we feel very limited in our situation. This is our goal as a Christian. This is our goal as believers, to start walking in the Spirit. And it takes time. You know, it's not always fun. Our mind sometimes is fixated on the problem. And it takes time to retrain that mind. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's a process. It's going to take some time. So, you know, don't throw up your hands. I'm quitting. You know, my family doesn't like me. My neighbors don't like me. Anybody I run into, sometimes I feel like that, you know. And I know it's not true. It's totally false because I've taken the time to hear what God says about me and my situations in life. So, hallelujah. So, I kind of thought for a second in 1 Corinthians 13, I kind of thought, you know, I need to be meditating a little bit on love. So I started like reading this passage in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So after I read that, I thought, boy, I'm in a lot of trouble. You know, I'm not, how can I do this, Lord? This is like difficult stuff at times. And so, right almost instantly in my heart, I got like the practical application. This is the definition of love. It doesn't necessarily show you how to love. It defines how to love, and it puts a standard up there on what really love is. But how do you do this? Well, the Lord knew we would ask that question, so he had Brother Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 write, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So, once again, where's the Holy Spirit living? Inside of us. So it says if we are led by the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, that's the power. You know, our natural love can get tired of loving. Our natural patience and kindness can just get sick of being kind so many times and so many people taking advantage of that kindness. But guess what? There's no limit in God's kindness, love, patience, control, all these things. As a people, we learn how to bring this out into our lives. You know, part of it is spending time with the Lord and asking the Lord, how do I do this? How do I do this better? Because oftentimes we know how to do things at certain degrees and certain levels, but we want increases in areas. You know, we want help, you know, when we really need help. And the Lord will accommodate us. Remember, you can't tackle a 12th grade problem when you're only in first grade. Just realize I'm at where I'm at, and God's going to help me grow in Christ every single day. And I'm going to spend the time in the Word of God, whether it's praying, whether it's studying, whether it's listening to, like I was listening to a CD going to work. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 1 through like Galatians chapter 3. And it's like the only CD I could find, you know. And so I listened to that like three times, and I went, wow, that's good. But the flesh can get tired of doing things, okay? you know, listen to what it says here. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, how many of us belong to Christ Jesus? Man, everybody in here. Okay, it says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, how many of you think it's fun to crawl up on a cross and hang there with Jesus? Well, it says, of course it's not fun. Living the Christian walk, you know, there's struggles, there's difficulties. You know, and the trouble is the flesh. But it says, if we learn how to crucify that with its passions and desires, we'll learn how to keep step with the Spirit. You know, and these are things that are important for the days ahead. And just trust the Lord that he's working that in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, actually, felt like I got this message like a couple weeks ago, and I thought, wow, that's kind of nice. You know, I get an opportunity to kind of think about the message before. And I believe the Lord really impressed on my heart to really do this, because we're going to talk a little bit about healing tonight. And I'd ask you to expect God to give you understanding and increase your wisdom in this area. Because when we start something in faith, there's a beginning point and then there's an end point. Sometimes in my life, I felt like I'm on one of those bicycles that don't go anywhere. They just kind of, you just sit there and you're like an exercising, you know, you're not going anywhere. But always keep in mind that when you start trusting in the Lord for something, there is an end point to that. Okay. You know, you start out with the problem, with the situation, and you end up with the victory. Amen. That's how God wants us to walk in these things. And sometimes it's tough because we're still in that process of transformation. We're still renewing our mind with the Word of God. That's why it's so important to say, I'm going to stick with the Word of God every day. And sometimes I do have to admit, I do have to confess that I'm not in the Word of God as much as I'd like to, but I'm changing that, and I have changed that. You know, when the flesh says no, I'm starting to say yes, you know, because I know how much I need it. So we're going to read a little bit about the Canaanite woman, and there's two stories that relate to this. One's in Matthew 15, and the other one's in Mark 7. And so I'm going to read them both. Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So disciples came and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. And then Mark 7. Verse 24 says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat of all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Okay. You know, when you look at where Jesus is, I mean, I picture Jesus like walking through Israel, Galilee, you know, around Bethlehem, Jerusalem, you know, all those places. I don't picture him outside of Israel, except maybe he goes to Samaria, he passes through there. But he is actually in a Gentile region right now. Tyre and Sidon are areas that are, it's a Gentile area. So he's there, and the Bible doesn't talk too much about why he's there. I mean, John says, you know, if everything was written about Jesus and everything he did, you know, all the books wouldn't contain it. So we know Jesus, you know, made it around to a lot of different places. Okay, and for the most part, you know, when you look at the Jews and the Gentile relationship, the Jews consider the Gentiles not in covenant with God. When God made a covenant, he made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so the Jews looked at their relationship with God, you know, as a covenant, and the people outside of it were outcasts. They weren't part of that covenant. And so just to see Jesus walking in these areas, we know Jesus didn't have a problem with Gentile people, you know, because the Roman centurion came to him, and Jesus was so impressed with the centurion's faith because the centurion just believed what Jesus said. You know, he had come for his servant who was close to death, very terribly ill, and Jesus said to the Roman centurion, "Go, your servant's healed." And he just went. You know, and he believed that, and he commented on that faith that even Israel, people in Israel, weren't trusting God at his word. Okay, so we have this woman approach Jesus, and there's a little bit of difference in the stories. I mean, if you want to argue and say, well, these are different stories, you know, that's fine. But I think there's enough similarities that Mark tells it slightly different, and Matthew tells it slightly different, you know, which kind of lends credibility to the Bible. You know, you're having a couple different viewpoints here. Okay, so the woman says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Okay, Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." Okay, so this woman is crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Okay, she's not part of that covenant people. Okay, we see Jesus respond in other situations where the people that are saying that are Jews, and he stops, and then he finds out what they want. It was a blind man, and Jesus ends up healing that man. But this woman is outside the covenant of God, and she's crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." Okay, look how Jesus responds. Okay, Jesus is trying to bring people out of doubt and unbelief, out of the attitude of, "I just want you, Jesus, for what you can do for me," to a place of worship and consecration. That's his ultimate goal. Okay, so the things he says is the Holy Spirit leading him and showing him how to react to difficult situations and to difficult people. Because everybody you come across is different. You know, and one size just doesn't fit all. Okay, we know that, you know, because we're us. Our testimony is different from everybody else. So It says, Jesus did not answer her a word. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay, obviously, she was saying it enough to it just bothered the disciples. Doesn't it kind of bother you when somebody you know starts acting up? You're like in a group of people and they're like, I don't want to be with this person because this person's kind of embarrassing me too. You almost kind of sense that because his disciples say, came and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Okay, while she's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay, you think she heard that? Hey, Jesus, send her away. Or was it, hey, Jesus, send her away. She's crying after us. Okay, look what Jesus said. Okay, and realize that you probably really had to be there to hear the tone of his words. Okay, but keep in mind he's trying to bring her to a place of worship and devotion. I've been only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Okay, so first she comes. It's like Jesus, it seems like, is trying to ignore her. And she could just like walk away. And lots of times in my own life, I can look back and see where I didn't receive the things of God because of pride. I really wasn't humble. I was humble in certain areas, but I was walking in pride in a lot of others. You know, and praise God, there was mercy and grace. I'm here today. I'm not dead. You know, somehow, if you have the desire to follow the Lord, even though you might have a whole list of stuff, and you might not even know things, you know, things that are causing offense to other people. I know I didn't. But God's mercy and God will teach and train you and bring you out of that stuff. You know, remember, you know, you don't expect much from a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. You know, if they spill their milk, they just don't have the coordination. Or if they do dumb things, they're just 2- and 3-year-olds. Okay, but they will walk up to Daddy and say, I love you, Daddy. You know, and it doesn't matter what they've done. It's just like, praise God. You know, that's my son, that's my daughter. You know, so that's how God looks at us. So the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Lord, help me. Help me. Okay, where's she at still? Okay, she didn't leave. Oh, he said he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See you later. No. She said, Lord, help me. Help me. Okay. Kate, realize that the world is full of people who need help. And many of them are even saying that to the Lord. Okay. There's a difference between begging the Lord and trusting him in faith. Okay. And we'll look at how to get yourself into that position, but she's still not in faith. But she's still there. You know, realize that when Jesus healed the multitudes, he worked with people. Sometimes, you know, he might have laid hands on people, he might have spoke things to people, but ultimately it says that they were all healed. So realize that the will of God for us is healing for all of us. Okay, but these are things we got to learn how to walk in. Just like patience, just like love. I mean, I'm sure some of you could say, man, I really had a temper before I came to know the Lord. So what's the difference? It's like the Holy Spirit is a difference. The Lord is a difference. He's helped us, you know, overcome things in our life. And sickness is no different. You know, or any situation or any problem is no different before the Lord. Because we're his children. We're his kids. So he says, she's saying, Lord, help me. Okay, think about that. Lord, help me. Help me. And he says to her, It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Okay. Now, remember, you probably had to be there to hear the tone. And the word that he uses, there's a couple words for dog. One dog could mean like a wild animal. Another dog could be like a lap dog. You know, like a lap dog. Yip, 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 yip. Kind of nipping at your heels. Lovable. Hey, that's what Jesus called her. Little lap dog. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to their lap dogs. Bless God, he's not going to call me a dog. No. Jesus knew by the Spirit of God that she needed to hear that. Because it brought her to the step of a faith that where Jesus needed her to be. Not just, Jesus, you're my Savior, I'm just going to get whatever I want, but Jesus, you're my Lord. I will go anywhere, I'll do anything, because you're my Lord. So he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Okay. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So, you know, if you're talking about something you give the children, that might be something kind of special. But Jesus calls healing the children's bread. Isn't that interesting? You know, he didn't have to say that. And we know that Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life. Okay, he says, you know, he told the disciples, you need to eat that bread. You know, Jesus said, in the beginning, well, actually John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is that Word. So he wants us to partake of the children's bread. Now, how many of you want a slice of children's bread once every week? How many of you want a slice of bread once every week? Is that good enough? You can become like Pastor Gary and get thinner. I couldn't resist. Sorry. How about a piece of bread once every 2 days? No. Okay, one a day. One piece of children's bread a day. Okay, now, in all reality, if your child walks up to you and says, I want to eat that whole loaf, you'd say, here. Right? One time in youth, I had this great idea that one of the youth leaders should eat a whole loaf of bread. So I took a loaf of bread and like squashed it all the way down to about like this. And he ate it. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. You know, young people will do those type of things. So now let me ask you this. If Jesus is going to give you bread, you think it's going to be good? Think it's going to be fresh? Or you think it's going to be stale and moldy? Stale and moldy bread. How many of you children want a piece of stale and moldy bread? Amen. It's going to be good. The Word is good. You know. And it's really in our hands to take the time to learn how to eat it. You know, spending time with the Master, spending time with the Lord. You know, I heard somebody say one time on one of the messages I listened to is like, man, if you don't have time for God, time for prayer, time for meditation, time for whatever it is, spending time with the Lord, you're wasting time. Because he can, if your schedule is so busy, if you say, I'm taking the time, almost like a tithe, if you say, well, my bills are so big, why should I tithe? You really need to tithe, because when you do, you're planting a seed for a harvest. You need a harvest. we need a harvest in a lot of areas in our life. So the only way to get that is to plant seed and spend that time and allow the Lord to put those things in our heart. You know. So Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Well, kids, I don't have any bread. I just fed it all to the dogs. Right? But Jesus, is that right? You know, your kids are hungry. You got some dogs you got to feed. You feed the dogs first and then the kids? No. Healing is a precious thing. It's a special thing. And it's for His children. Every one of us in here are His kids. We're His children. And we're entitled to have as much children's bread as we want. So, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ. You know, wherever we missed it, we ask God for forgiveness and we move on. We don't dwell on the past. And if anybody in here is thinking about the past or the past does bother you, you know, I'm here to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. And I just encourage you to spend more time with the Lord. Spend more time thinking about those scriptures where, man, I am patient, I am kind. You know, God does forgive me, and I forgive others. Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? Is that pretty good? Man, if I forgive somebody 7 times for the same dumb thing in one day, I'm a saint. No, Jesus said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. It's limitless. That scripture will help you. You know, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, you know, with your boss, you know, all those people that come and touch your life. You know, and a lot of it, the devil's in it to destroy your life. To get you so off track, to get you so bitter, to get you so thinking on the negative, that it pushes down the power of God that can come and help you in that situation. So he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Okay, her response, yes, it is, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know, that's worship. She's learning to trust God. You know, she's not looking at what's in it for me. She's looking at, this is the Lord. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Wow, what a difference. Son of David, have mercy on me! You know, Jesus said, disciples said, send her away. She cries after us. She's bothering us. The thing about Jesus is, He sees the potential in each one of us. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Great is your faith. And it says your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that moment. Simple faith. We need to learn how to walk in simple faith. And just ask the Lord, Lord, I don't understand these things, or I need to understand them better. That's more appropriately. Lord, I need help. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. And then thank him. Lord, I thank you. Man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with wisdom. I'm blessed with understanding. You know, push in. You know, she pushed in. She had a couple of opportunities to say, see you guys. But she would have went home. Her daughter would have still been demon-possessed. Her life would still have been broken. She still would have been outside the covenant of God. But oh, what a step. What a step that can transform your lives each and every day. a miracle a week. Yeah. So Pastor Gary heard from the Lord, a miracle a week. You think God is limited to one piece of bread miracle a week? Man, there's a lot of pieces, lot of pieces of bread in here. It can go around. But remember, you're at a starting point and there's an ending point. And see yourself at that ending point. Lord, I'm healed. I'm blessed. You know, I can, you know, Psalm 103 says he renews. Well, actually it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. This is Old Testament. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Your kings and queens, he crowns you. You don't put a crown on a pauper. You don't put a crown on a peasant, on a nobody. He crowns you with kindness and loving, with mercy and loving kindness. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay, meditate on that. Think on that. You know, in Joshua 1:8 it says, let me turn there real quick. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So it's not a formula. It's not like if I can do this so many hours, so many pages a day, so many chapters, it's not like that. It's about spending time with the Lord. You know, Holy Spirit, thank you for being inside of me. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and you do. You do. So in the quietest place, in the loudest storm, he's there. He's there, and you have the victory. Trust God. All right, let me just see here real quick. You know, I'm just going to end with that. You know, we have Ikim coming up. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hallelujah. He started it tonight. You know, Ikim said that he wanted to come and pray for people. You know. Not that any of us have to wait, but just realize I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna try to be there, I'm gonna grow. I'm going to learn. I'm going to press into the Lord. You know, and there's wonderful things for us. You know, I was worshiping God tonight. And I said, you know, because there's some things I want to get accomplished. And I said it again. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way of finishing my calling for God. And these services are part of it. You know, it's part of hearing what the Spirit of God has to say for us. You know, because those people are coming hundreds of miles, I think, not thousands, but they're coming hundreds of miles, and the Spirit of God has something on their heart to say. Wow. God cares enough for us to send somebody hundreds of miles to tell us something that we need to know. So, you know, when these folks show up, it's just like, I'm here to listen. You know, there's certain parts in the sermon where Pastor Gary gets up after worship, or Pastor Shelley, and they're closest to God because they just were communing with the Lord, and the Lord says, I have something for them. Why don't you share this? So I try to listen to his whole sermon. I try to think, okay, if somebody asked me tomorrow, what did Pastor Gary talk about? I'm going to be ready. So, But hallelujah, I just encourage you, you know, while it's still day, just to run that race. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Don't let anybody judge you. You know, you're answering to the Lord and you're following the Lord. with all your heart. So, you have something to say?
Bless God. Bless God. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." He was called the bread of life, wasn't he? Yeah, the anointing came from the handkerchiefs and scarves and aprons and stuff from Paul, right? And we think, well, what is a handkerchief, or what is a scarf, or what is an apron and that? Well, I understand it's a material piece of the world, and there's nothing magical or mystical about it because it's the presence and the power of God, but it's a point of contact. In Jesus' name, I pray for this bread right now. Hallelujah. The children's bread. And if there's anything in your body tonight that you don't want it there, or you've been struggling with it or whatever, anybody here want a piece of bread? In Jesus' name, you want the end piece or middle? Huh? You don't care? Yeah, well, I want you to give thanks, and I'd like you to eat this piece of bread. In Jesus' name, you want a piece of bread? The lady asked for bread, right? The children's bread, and what was she asking for? She's asking for healing, right? In Jesus' name. We give cracker out, right, on communion? You mind having a complete serving? Do you? Bless God. In Jesus' name, it's okay. It's okay. Point of contact. Take it by faith as a symbol of the healing power of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Praise God. She asked for it, and she got what she asked for. And she wasn't asking for bread, but they were dealing with bread. They were dealing with bread. Bless God. Praise God. Some of you are thinking, how far is he getting down to that low? It doesn't matter. There's still more. God can multiply a loaf, can he? Anybody want a piece of bread? Bless God. Praise God. In Jesus' name. You'll split one? It'll work, split. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless God. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Praise God. Yeah. Bless God. Praise God. Go ahead and eat it. Give thanks for it and eat. It's okay. Receive in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Now, I can't think of a single thing that's wrong. Well, you know what? My blood pressure's been a little low, and I need to get it up a little bit higher. I don't know about you, but when it gets a little low, I get a little tired, and I need higher blood pressure. So I'm praying for higher blood pressure. Some of you might be praying for lower blood pressure. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Bless God in Jesus' name. The lady got what she asked for. She got what she asked for. She got what she asked for. Her kid. Her kid. She got what she asked for. Jesus said healing is bread, is children's bread. Hallelujah. Bless God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're your children. Have we forgotten that? We have not, Lord. We're in the family, and we are the first in line for your healing. Lord, you have that healing available for anyone and everyone, but we're the first in line, and we receive it. Hallelujah. It wasn't a wasted effort, the stripes on your back. We receive the children's bread. This is anointed, Lord, because we take it by faith to your glory forever. Just like a cup of cold water is given in Jesus' name, we give a slice of bread in Jesus' name tonight. And we believe that by faith, by this act of faith, it's an act of love towards you, Lord, believing in you, that we receive it to glory and joy and praise your holy name forever. Bless you, most holy God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. And amen. Bless God. Oh, by the way, there's a few more slices up here if anybody else wants some bread. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thanks for bringing the bread. I don't have any jelly. I left it all at home, but it occurred to me to bring jelly tonight. Did you know that? And I thought, well, that's a silly thought. Why would I bring jelly with me? It didn't make sense, but anyway. There it is. No, I love rye bread. Amen. Well, we're dismissed. Bless y'all. We'll see you Friday. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Glad tidings brought.